intention, interior trucking companies. If you are relying on facility insurance, you could be overpaying. Reduce your insurance cost by $10,000 or more per truck. And good news, we accept drivers with only 1 year of experience. To learn more, just send us text by typing insurance to 365-364-0714. Thank you.
Welcome to the Dog on It Trucking Show, wherein it comes to trucking and safety, the dog is on it. I'm very excited this week to have Matt Richardson of KRTS Transportation Specialist on the show. He is a proud holder of an AZ license. Matt is a graduate of the University of Guelph, and he played for the Guelph Griffins football team. He was actually the captain for the last 3 years that he played. And along with his work at KRTS, Matt is the chairman of PMTC, the Private Motor Truck Council of Canada's Young Leaders Group. And I know Matt does a great job with that. Without making you wait any longer, here is the interview with Matt Richardson. I'm so grateful to have Matt Richardson from KRTS on the show with me today. Let's bring Matt in. Hey, Matt, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Chris. I'm good. Yourself?
I'm really good. I had to shovel some snow this morning, but you know.
A little bit here as well.
Yeah. Was it wet and heavy and awful?
It was. Fortunately, the majority of it had melted already, so it was a fairly fast cleanup. But yes, it was wet and heavy.
Yeah. Oh, well, wonderful. Hey, Matt, can you tell our guests, our listeners, and our viewers a little bit about Matt Richardson?
Yeah, so I've been, first of all, thanks for having me on. Hey, I appreciate the offer and look forward to our conversation. As you know, Chris, I've been in the trucking industry, I tell people, all my life. I used to go to the yard with Dad when I was 5-6 years old. That's when I started washing trucks. So basically when I was old enough to hold a scrub brush and provide some cheap labor, that was my introduction to the trucking industry. Throughout my high school years, it was a part-time job for me doing all sorts of different truck washing, yard maintenance, basically anywhere help was needed. And then as I got a little older, I got more involved on the office side of things. While I was away at university, every year when I came back in the summer, I learned a different piece of our business, whether that be, you know, scheduling, dispatching, management. I also, part of the understanding was that if I was going to be involved in KRTS, I would go through all of the different training programs that we offered. So 1 year got my AZ license, another year got my heavy equipment operator certificate, another year got my dispatching certificate that we offer through a program here. So that was part of the understanding that if I was going to be involved and selling our services, I was going to go through them all.
That's pretty cool. I didn't know that you had your heavy equipment license. I suspected about the AZ, but see, that's something. I've never operated any heavy equipment.
Yeah, I have very little other than going through the program, the full 190 hours that we offer. I have not much operating experience outside of that. But again, I've been through that entire program and have the certificate. So when it comes to speaking with individuals who are looking to make that a career choice, I can provide some real insight from, you know, someone who actually has gone through the program.
Right. That's pretty cool. And I know KRTS is a family organization. You know, you already mentioned coming back during summers and stuff when you were away at, I know, we'll put a plug in for Guelph here.
Go Griffins.
But who else is involved from the family in the company?
So basically our whole family. So my mom and dad founded the company. That's Kim and Lisa in 1989. My sister Jamie is involved as well. You know, mom and dad started the company from basically their tool shed at the house they lived in at the time in 89. And it was just mom and dad. Mom looked after the books and the administration and everything that goes along with that. And and Dad was the only trainer we had at that time. And since then, we've grown, you know, exponentially. You've seen our facility in Caledonia. You're aware of the size of the team that we have, but an awesome team of instructors and office administration professionals. We're very lucky with the team that we have now.
Yeah, and I am sometimes a part of that team, and I appreciate that so much. You guys are great to work with and to work for.
Absolutely. Well, we appreciate what you bring to our team, Chris.
I appreciate that. Melt. We, you know, one of the things that comes up often in my job as a safety consultant is training of truck drivers, and these fellas have existing licenses. But during all my driver meetings now, Matt, I often bring up Humboldt and its stuff, and I wonder what it's going to do to the trucking industry. But Melt, that statement leads me into Melt. What is Melt, and how does it affect the school, and how does it affect the province of Ontario, stuff like that?
Yeah, so MELT stands for Mandatory Entry Level Training. Ontario is the first province in Canada to implement it. Actually, when you think about it, it's probably it would be the first in North America, considering what's going on with the entry level standards in the States right now and the recent news of the delay, which I think we'll touch on later. But yeah, mandatory entry level training. The province of Ontario has stated what the minimum number of training hours that is required to go and attempt your ministry road test to obtain your AZ license. Those hours are 103 and a half hours. 50 hours of behind the wheel training must be included in that time, 17 hours of yard work, and 36 and a half hours of classroom time. And then with the hours, there's also some mandatory curriculum or competency requirements as well, as far as the topics that that need to be covered and how the students need to be educated.
Are any other provinces have something similar to MELT?
So there are a number of provinces who are in the works right now. Obviously, with as you mentioned the Humboldt incident, that was national. I mean, international news. So it shed a real light on some of the areas where training was lacking as far as obtaining a truck license in Canada. So the national entry level driver training standards are currently being worked on. So I would expect we'll see release of that sometime in the near future.
That's cool. And you mentioned in the other question there that the U.S. has delayed or postponed the federal government down there, as I understand it, has a minimum coming, and it's quite different, the different things. One of the things, you know, I'm involved in PTDI, and
for sure.
I get some exposure to it there. What can you say about the U.S. and the delay?
I mean, it's disappointing. You know, anything that delays the potential for increased safety for not only the professional operators, you know, who are on the road every day with their vehicle configurations, but also the general public. Increased safety is also that's a huge benefit to everybody. So the delay is definitely disappointing, especially when you consider, you know, without having the notes in front of me, I feel like this started in the U.S. back in 2012. And there was the mandate at that time was that it would be implemented, I believe, within 2 years. So now we're 6 years after that, or 8 years after that, sorry, 6 years after what would have been the 2 year implementation window. And they're looking at another 2 year pushback. So that definitely disappointing.
Yeah,
I'm sure it will be at the end of the month. I'll be down in Orlando at the Truckload Carriers Association annual conference, and I'm sure it will be a hot topic of discussion down there.
Yeah, because what we're talking about is road safety and how to introduce new people to the industry that you and I love.
And absolutely.
If we're not going to introduce them correctly, then how can we expect them to be you know, great performers in our jobs. But,
yeah.
You know, and one of the other things, you know, getting back to Ontario and the MELT program, what types of organizations can offer a MELT curriculum?
So there's really, there's three routes that are available in Ontario. So one is the driver certification program, in which, you know, carriers can have a registered curriculum and train people within their organizations to obtain their licenses. Public career colleges can have the register and have the curriculum to provide MELT, as well as private career colleges or registered private career colleges such as KRTS.
Well, that's, thanks, Matt. That that helps. Now, have guidelines been for registering of private and public colleges? Have guidelines for the needing to be registered in a license? Have we eliminated the licensing mills? Let's put it that way.
Yeah, that's a great question, Chris, and definitely a conversation that is had regularly amongst the schools who run in the, you know, I'll call it the green light district, the schools that do things right, versus the, you know, the licensing mills, as you mentioned, who, you know, we comment that they run in the red light district. MELT has definitely helped, and the requirements for MELT have definitely helped in eliminating some of those licensing mills and the companies that operate in the red light district. Unfortunately, you know, people who aren't the most ethically sound will always find ways around regulations. So we are still facing issues with, you know, people entering our industry who maybe have the certificates or are being told they're receiving what is required under the MELT guidelines when that really isn't the case.
So as much as the government has tried, and hopefully MELT has eliminated at least some of those schools, you say that there's still a way that some of the licensing mills are still around.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we get calls, I wouldn't say on a regular basis, but frequently enough that we know it's still an issue, you know, from companies who are looking to bring drivers on board who have the documentation saying they have graduated MELT programs. However, it's very apparent based on their skill level and the inability to you know, answer some fairly easy questions about the amount of training that they've received, that we know that that's not the case.
Now, Matt, I'm just playing with the computer here, but with my work through TTSAO, I go out to audit some new schools, and my question involves around that. Some of the schools that have applied to TTSAO haven't met the TTSAO standard. There was one school, actually several, that I go in, and they can't even provide lesson plans, for instance. When you applied way back when to become a MELT school, what's involved? Like, do you have to have lesson plans? I don't know. Like, I'm not on the school side of it.
Yeah, it's a pretty detailed process. You know, we've been a registered private career college for a number of years, going back well before my time, you know, being on full time. So for us, the process, we didn't have to go through the full registration process because the school itself was already registered, but there was new programs that had to be registered. And within that registration process, yeah, you're absolutely right. We have to submit lesson plans, you know, the different hours that are going to be spent on different topics as they relate to the MELT guidelines. We have to have documentation in place for how those hours are going to be tracked, grading guidelines, all sorts of different information had to be included in that program registration. You know, we are a registered and certified school through TTSAO. they did develop and create a curriculum. So that is a curriculum that, that we used in the registration process. But it's a difficult process. You know, the ministry has a difficult job in trying to get out and enforce all of the different registered schools that are out there. I mean, it's one thing to register and submit and get approved. It's a different thing to make sure that you're keeping up with all the regulations after that approval.
Yeah, I can't imagine it is easy to meet all the ministry guidelines and everything like that. And congrats for KRTS. I mean, you guys did it long before. Well, let me ask it this way. Have you always had to be a registered career college before the MELT era?
So you didn't have to be a registered career college to be able to offer AZ training, which is the case now. We've been a registered career college 20 plus years. I don't know the exact date. We have 7 registered programs with the Ministry of Training and Colleges and Universities. So we're very aware of the requirements and the guidelines in order to make sure that we're operating properly and up to our standards. And along with the, you know, our ministry here in Ontario and the private career colleges, our AZ, our 200-hour AZ program is also a certified course through PTDI, which is a Professional Truck Driver Institute, as you're aware of. But that's a whole separate organization and kind of governing body that we got to make sure we keep our program up to standards with in order to maintain that certified course, which we see as a huge, huge value.
Right. And I mean, I know you're members of PTDI. You're members of TTSAO, and I know Kim, the school KRTS, is members of TTSAO. And of course, Kim does a lot of work with TTSAO. He is, if I remember, the chairman. Is that the right word?
Chairman or president. I forget exactly how they word it. I believe he is the president.
Yeah. Okay. So we give a shout out to TTSAO anyways, because they do a great job in Ontario.
They really do. They're a great organization. Their board is made up of some great people who have the right initiatives and mindset as far as the betterment of the industry. I think their pre-qualifications they're doing now for schools who are looking to become TTSAO approved is phenomenal. You know, it's making sure that if a facility wants to fly that TTSAO flag, that they're going to be up to the standard that's associated with the TTSAO. You know, we're happy to have passed that. We did a requalification audit with them, you know, early on in the process, and happy to have been successful with that. And I think it's a great initiative going forward that has definitely received some really good feedback from the industry. A lot view it as a major positive.
Well, yeah, and it is a major positive. And can I ask you one more kind of TTSAO question, I guess? Insurance right now, trucking insurance specifically, is a hot topic. It's certainly in what we would call as a hard market. It's difficult for new companies to start, things like that. A lot of companies are having difficulty hiring new drivers. Does coming from a school that's branded TTSAO have an advantage? What would you say? Like, if new drivers or potential people are looking, how would you pick out a school?
Yeah, the easy answer to that question is yes. The more detailed answer would be that it really depends on the insurance providers that these carriers or private fleets, any hiring companies are using, as all providers have different requirements. There are a lot of similarities, but different intricacies within them, as you know. So I know there are a number of the major insurance providers do recognize TTSAO and the courses that we offer. So it's definitely a positive. And with some, it depends on whether participant is taking the 103.5-hour program or the 200-hour program. There is simply just some insurance companies that say, no, the 200-hour program has been our standard since prior to MELT, and that's going to continue to be the standard. So they will require a graduate of the 200-hour program, but there are still lots of opportunities out there for graduates of those 103.5-hour programs as well. What we always suggest, you know, when we're getting inquiries from students and they're wondering, you know, why KRTS, or, you know, if they're wondering maybe why another TTSAO school, is, you know, call the carriers and or private fleets that you may be interested in working for and ask them and get their opinion on where you need to attend school.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I always say to anybody who asks me about picking a school is pick your carrier and figure out, you know, what school they would hire you if you were a graduate from. That would be the easy way.
Yeah, and even if you're not 100% sure, because people come into the industry not knowing, you know, what route they want to go, whether it's long haul, curbside, regional, you know, it's fairly easy access to get different kinds of fleets information. So just call a couple. It really doesn't it doesn't make a difference on what side of the industry you're looking to get into, because those carriers that are reputable are going to steer you to reputable training schools.
Yeah, and I think that's everybody's end goal, is to get the student employed.
Yeah, absolutely. Get them employed and make sure when they are leaving our facilities that they have the education, skills, and tool set required to be safe operators, safe and professional operators.
And as a road user, I thank you. Now, what other courses? We were talking largely about AZ Truck Driver Training Program. And that's what I know KRTS as. I got very little exposure to anything else at KRTS. But what other programs do you offer? I know you mentioned you've got your heavy machinery ticket, or whatever that's called. What else do you have?
There's two AZ programs that we have registered. We have a DZ professional driver program registered. We have a dispatch program registered. We have a standalone heavy equipment program, and we also have two different combination programs that mix in your AZ license with different pieces of heavy equipment. That's on our student side, and then on our corporate training side or fleet training side, you know, we have 30 plus different programs that are all customizable depending on what a customer needs. We're fortunate to have, we're pushing 450 fleet customers now in both Canada and the US. So all sorts of different offerings that are customizable and available to them.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I didn't know that you had a dispatch program and stuff like that.
We do, yes.
And I know part of corporate training, let's give a shout out to NATME, because Safety Dog and KRTS do hold those NATME courses at your location in Caledonia, and they are coming up in March, if I remember. We've got them scheduled.
Yeah, we got both a certified driver trainer program running in March through NATME, as well as a certified director of safety course. And, you know, now that you bring up NATME, one of the things that, you know, at KRTS we're very proud of, not only to offer that program, but any of our instructors that have been with us for, once they've hit a year milestone with us, we put them through that certified driver trainer program at no cost to them. Once they complete it, there is a pay raise involved. So I think that it just partly shows our dedication to making sure that, you know, those trainers that are out educating the entry level participants into the industry are really receiving the best training available.
Yeah, and I'm really proud to be involved with NATME as well, and I think it's a great organization. And you know, for safety people and driver trainers, there's not a lot of certification out there, and NATME offers a really good one.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct, and you know you're a great facilitator of that program for us, and we appreciate that partnership. We're obviously big supporters of NATME for our instructors as well as the industry, and we're also big supporters of the LLC certified defensive driving instructor programs that are out there.
Yeah, the LLC, the company, I forget the name, out of Cleveland.
Avatar.
Yeah, and that's another good program, and KRTS got me trained up to be one of those instructors as well, so I appreciate that. Now, Matt, earlier on you mentioned that the insurance industry, there's two levels of courses for the AZ. Just getting back to that, there's the 103.5 or the MELT program, and then there's the 200-hour program. Why would a student choose, at least in my mind, I'm assuming that the 200-hour program would be more money. Why would they choose to spend that extra money on that program?
Yeah, you are right. It is more money, but you know what? It's not a substantial amount more. One of the big benefits of the 200-hour program is that is the certified course through PTDI, which is just a great certificate for entry-level participants to have. There are a number of insurance providers that view that as equivalent to 2 years experience. So when these graduates are going out to look for employment, it just becomes a little bit easier. You know, what we say to students or potential students who are calling in and kind of on the fence about what program to take is, you know, picture a double door. If you take the 103.5 hour program, one side of that door is opening your employment opportunities. If you take the 200 hour program, you know, both sides of that door are opening for you.
Yeah. And, you know, and I have opinions about the 103.5 hours, whether that's enough, but it's at least the bare minimum now, which I'm appreciative of.
Yeah, and a large portion of the participants in our 103.5 hour program are those being sent to us by companies to train. So we really know that once they finish KRTS and the 103.5 hour programs, they're entering into a training or mentoring program within their fleets as well.
All right, so that makes me feel better. Now, what else? Well, you and I drive the roads with these people, and we see examples every day of professional truck drivers, but we also, I'm sure, see examples every day of other types of truck drivers and other types of car drivers, which is
absolutely
something, by the way, you didn't mention, car driving.
Yeah. KRTS does do that. It's kind of a separate side to our business from the commercial side, but we do have a driver's education program where we train, you know, 15 and 16 year olds who are getting ready to enter into their first driving experiences.
Yeah, and that's just kind of neat. I would imagine that's very local, as opposed to the AZ drivers that come from literally everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, our driver's ed programs is, you know, they're very community based. When you compare it to our other, you know, our registered private career college programs, where we're fortunate to be able to draw people in. You know, we have a student now that's commuting over 2 hours every day. Commuting 4 hours every day, 2 hours each way, to take one of our AZ programs.
Well, that's largely due to the reputation, I would think, that KRTS has and in the
Thank
industry.
You.
Well,
Thank
I didn't say it was good, but I do. I know,
yeah,
it's
we're fortunate to have, you know, have worked hard and built that solid reputation over the course of 30 years. And, you know, like I mentioned earlier, we're truly lucky to have a really great team here, who, you know, whose work and efforts are part of keeping that reputation going.
Absolutely. And as I said, I'm happy to be associated with KRTS and the different things that we do together. Now, Matt, any last words as we wrap up here that you would like to throw out there before I say thanks?
Just that, again, I appreciate you having me on. It's been a cool experience. I'm looking forward to seeing this. I think what you're doing with the Dog Is On It is a great idea, and will provide some, you know, educational information for people who maybe aren't familiar with all aspects of the industry, and even for those who are, just to be able to see a little deeper dive into the different items and parts of the industry.
Well, and I thank you for those kind words. The Dog On It show is going to be, I guess, leveraging maybe my contacts, because as you know, once as you get older, you develop more and more contacts. And when I started to reach out to people to say, hey, do you want to be on a show and be interviewed and talk, everybody has been so gracious and said yes. This has been a great experience for me. Kim's coming on the show very soon. Another friend of ours, Glenn Caldwell, has agreed to be on the show very soon. So I'm excited about those opportunities, just to get to talk to people and learn more, as I just learned more about KRTS today. And I thought I knew a lot about KRTS because of our relationship. But Matt, I just wanted to say thanks so much for being on. It's great to have a relationship with you and the KRTS group, and I thank you very much for that.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks so much, and I know you enjoyed listening to Matt. Don't forget to click a like and subscribe to the podcast or the YouTube channel, depending on how you consumed this week's interview. Next week, I'm looking forward to sitting down with Mr. Glenn Caldwell of NAL. I'm excited to be interviewing Glenn next week. That's it for this week. Please click like and subscribe. Safety Dog is out.